In order to understand the themes of what Purim are about, which are obviously many, we find in the Gemara Megillah that different among the rabbis took one pasuk that encapsulates the entire Megillah. And I'd like to focus in on one of these. This is Rav Masna, who he chose the pasuk, and this is source one, Ki mi goy gadol, asher lo elokim krovim elav kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav. For which great nation is a God who is close to it, as is Hashem our God whenever we call to Him? In his mind, this pasuk encapsulates the entire story. Our question for today is a simple question. In what way do we see that this pasuk is about the core of what the Megillah is trying to teach us and the lessons for our lives? And I'd like to, Mirtz Hashem, take a look how we can understand, perhaps, what he had in mind on two different levels. The first, which is the obvious one, is tefillah. The second, which is less obvious, is focusing in on Elokim Krovim Elav, the first part of the pasuk. Tefillah is about Hashem Elokim B'chol Koreinu Elav, is calling out to Hashem. The second level we'll see, it's about the relationship of Elokim Krovim Elav. Let's start with the more obvious one and spend more time on that. The lessons are very, very fundamental for our lives. It's very interesting in source number two, an interesting Radbaz that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Let's imagine a person is taken prisoner, and the warden allows the prisoner one day a year to daven b'tzibur, to daven with the congregation. What day should he choose? So the halacha is that he should choose that very day. You don't wait. The Radbaz says one would have thought that perhaps the day he should choose would either be Yom Kippur, if it was the summer months, or Purim, if it was the winter months. The fact that we have this, even Havamina, this thought, that if I had to choose a day to daven, what would be the day? So Yom Kippur is obviously the day to choose. We see as well, Aval HaShvot L'Zet Yom HaPurim Yoter Mikol Shara Yamim Miyuchotim Sheish Lan B'Shana Zeh Nishma Be'Oseinu Kol Kach Lo Muvan. What we would not have perhaps thought is that Purim would be the other choice. There's so many other auspicious days, Pesach, Shavuot. What is it about Purim that it has that level? And obviously there's a lot of Torah equating Purim and Yom Kippur, but it has this aspect of Tefillah. So let's try to examine the aspect of Purim being the aspect of Tefillah, almost if we could use an imagery of a tapestry with many, many different colors and threads. If we would choose just that one color, that one thread of tefillah, and let's pretend it's like a blue thread, and let's see the way it is thread. Obviously not everything, because it's very, very large and complex, but we'll see some aspects of how it's thread throughout the Megillah and throughout the halachas connected to Purim as well. If we begin stepping almost outside the tapestry before getting into the actual picture itself. Very famous comment of the Rambam in source number 3 at the beginning of its Mishnah Torah. The Rambam lists all 613 mitzvahs, and then he discusses the mitzvahs to Rabbanah and the mitzvahs from the rabbis. When he gets to Purim, he says the following: the prophets, together with the Beis Din, instituted and commanded to read the Megillah in its time in order to mention the praises of the Holy One, blessed be He, and the salvation that He wrought for us, and that He was close to our entries, in order to bless and praise Him, and in order to make known to future generations the veracity of which He promises in the Torah. For which great nation has a God who is close to it, as Hashem, our God, whenever we call to Him? In other words, according to the Rambam, a primary role of the institution of Purim, if not the primary role, is to establish and reinforce the principle laid down in the Torah, that prayer is close to Jewish people when they call out to Him in prayer. And again, that very pasuk that we mentioned, the Rav Masna quoted, as encapsulating the entire Megillah. The Rambam says, why do we read the Megillah? Obviously, why do we have Purim? Obviously, to thank Hashem. However, at the same time, there is a major lesson that has to be learned. And that lesson is how close Hashem is when we call out to Him in prayer. Moreover, the prayers of Jewish people at the time are commemorated by us in Purim observance every year. As we know, the Megillah is read twice during the course of Purim, once at night and once during the day, which is very fascinating, because if you take a look at the other mitzvahs of Purim, whether it's Mishloach Manos, Matanos Levyonim, all those mitzvos happen only during the day. If a person gave Mishloach Manos at night, it wouldn't count. You'd have to give it again during the day. In fact, although there is a Minhag Yisrael to have a Suda the night of Purim, right? And one lights candles, obviously, without a bracha. There are some people, okay, so if it's a fast day, so obviously you never Suda, but you light candles, you make a big deal about it. There are some people that will specifically not eat meat at that meal, so it should not be confused with the mitzvah of the next day, which is to have a Suda with meat. So we're so careful that the mitzvahs are really only applicable during the day and not at night. There's one exception. And that exception is Megillah. We read the Megillah both at night and during the day. And the question is why? Why is this the exception that we read it twice? So the answer the Gemara gives is a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, Elokai ekra yomam velo taneh velayla velo dum yale. My God, I call out and you do not answer, and in the night I am not silent. What does this verse have to do with reading Megillah at night? Rashi explains that the verse refers to the fact that the Jewish people were crying out to Hashem day and night to save them from Hashem's decree. Thus we see the entire obligation of reading the Megillah at night is to commemorate the prayers of the Jewish people at that time. So when we read the Megillah at night, we shouldn't think that we're just reading the Megillah. We should have in mind that the Megillah reading is to remind us how Klal Yisrael, at the time of the Megillah, were davening during the day and the night. It was a constant calling out to Hashem, which once again reinforces for us that a major theme of the Chag of Purim is one of Tefillah. Major focus is that of Tefillah. Moda Labina offers another insight of why we read the Megillah at night. And he says in source number 7 that V'od Arei Tiknu Rabbanan Liyot B'Tanis B'Yom Shekodem Purim. With the exception of Yerushalayim, Shushan Purim, people celebrate it. Most of the world celebrates Purim that is coming on the heels of Tanis Esther the day before. The Kriyas Megillah de la Purim Hikish Shadayim U'Me'uneh Matzot. And we know that one really shouldn't break one's fast till after the Megillah reading. So one is entering into the Megillah reading still fasting. The Kriyas Megillah de Laila Meshayach Shaychi Linyan Som Tanis Esther. So here we have not only the idea of Tefillah, of Klal Yisrael then, but somehow the Megillah reading that we read the night of Purim is somehow the extension of, since we're still fasting, even though it's nightfall, the extension of the tzom, the fast of Tanis Esther. And this is almost like the apex of the fast is the reading of the Megillah. What's the connection? So we need to understand, why do we have Tanis Esther? So we know in source number 8 that the Rambam writes that generally the fast, the Tanis Sibur, are Shekol Yisrael Mitanim Behem Yiptei Atzor Shiru, but because of the difficulties and the calamities that happen during those days, and it's a time for tshuva. If that's the case, Vim Kane in the asterisk, and A, Hayutzvichim, Lipo, Tanis Esther, Betarach, Shit, Rakshu, Atzara, Dainu, Bechorish, Nisan. And we really should have the fast day when the Tzara, when the challenge happened, when the decree, the edict was pronounced, which would be in Chodesh Nisan. So why do we have it in Adar 11 months later? So we know that the Mishnah Berurah brings down in source number 9, Ki b'mei Mordechai v'Esther nikalu b'yom yudgimu ba'adar li'lachem v'lamod al nafsham. Our Tanis Esther is not only recalling the three-day fast that Esther Malka had, which was around Pesach time, it's also to recall that on the 13th of Adar, which we have Tanis Esther, is a day that Klal Yisrael defended themselves. And it was a day of complete tefillah that Hashem should allow them to be successful in vanquishing their enemies. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we know that when they would fight, they would fast as part of their tefillah, part of their tshuva. So therefore, we fast on the Yud Gimel Adar. It's really commemorating a historical event that the Jewish people fasted when they went out to war. And it's a day, obviously, of davening as well. And this is what he brings down. That Hashem should remember us and listen to our tefillahs like he did at that time as well. So once again, we see that the theme of Tanifester, the day even before Purim, is also a very much the focus, right? We already have the blue background, so to speak. It's very much the focus of tshuva, of tefillah, that Hashem is close to us, that we go out to fight. It's a time of introspection, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should be with us. And that's why he says in source number 11, that Tanis Esther nikba ka'achana l'Purim, that Tanis Esther is really a preparation for Purim. V'hainu k'day lizko lishtayich liyum ha'Purim, in order to be able to really enter into the core of what Purim is about. L'dargos ha'myuchato shintan la'sipa, to really reach that high, lofty levels that Purim has inherently within this, we have to have a Tanis Esther, because E'eshar lipol yashar l'Purim. You can't enter into, you can't fall into Purim. You have to prepare yourself. And again, if, as we're going to see, that the major focus of Purim is tefillah, you just can't jump into tefillah. You have to have a day of introspection, a day of davening, a day of focus. And that's why the in source number 12, normally when you have a fast day that comes out on Shabbos, so you would fast on Sunday. Here, if it falls out on Shabbos, you fast on Thursday, which is very unusual. Usually they'll bring on a fast earlier. It turns out that not only is the central, so he says there that since the fast does not mark a time of calamity, but rather celebrates one of salvation, we bring it earlier, because the fast is not just to remember what happened, as much as to really get us into the spirit of preparing for Purim. It turns out that not only is the central role of prayer in the Purim story commemorated on the day of Purim itself through the reading of the Megillah, it has an entire day devoted to it before we even get to Purim. So therefore, when I enter into the Megillah, I've entered into the Megillah being a reminder for us and a call, and we'll talk more about it, of tefillah. We've already prepared ourselves the entire day, and like Megillah reading is like, wow, that's like the punch of the entire day. And what we have to keep in mind with the Chazon LeMoed brings down in Source 13, what the famous Inyan that the Kav HaYashar brings down, where he says that there's a skula on Tanis Esther that's b'yom ha'mesuga l'tfila. It's a day that's appropriate for tfila. The kol mi shetzarich rachamim, and I quote now 13, anyone who needs mercy, al eza dover shu tzarich lispala, whatever it is that he needs to daven for, yikach p'nai latzmo b'yom Tanis Esther. You should take for yourself some time on Tanis Esther. V'yomar t'chila mizmor kaf beis b'sefer Tehillim, first day capital 22 in Tehillim. The lam natzeach al yelad hashachar, which we know is referring to Esther Malka. V'achar kach yishpoch sicho lifnei Hashem, and then David. V'yivakesh bakashato v'yazkir z'chut Mordechai v'Esther, asher b'zchutam yater lo kodesh baruch hu v'yiftach lo sharei rachmi. And then mention in the z'chus of Mordechai and Esther that Hashem should listen to your tefillahs and open the Shari Rachamim, the gates of mercy, that your tefillahs should be accepted with love. Ki yom ha-purim hem yimei ratzo va'ava. Purim is a time of love. L'chein tov li'palo b'yom tanis Esther v'shamei tefillah yikabel b'rachamim ratzon tefillateinu. Amen. So we see here that even before we enter into the Purim story itself, we see that not only does the Gemara, the Samara, hold that this is a theme of Purim. The Rambam clearly says that this is a major reason for the holiday of Purim, is to remember that Hashem is close to us. The Megillah and day and night, as Rashi teaches us on the Gemara, is to remind ourselves of Klal Yisrael Daven. We enter into the Megillah after Tanis Esther, because the whole point of Tanis Esther is tefillah to Hashem. It's not just a fasting. It's a day mesugal. It's a day that has a special skula for davening. So I daven all day, and the climax of my tefillah will be by the Kriyas Megillah. That is just, so to speak, the background to appreciate tefillah. Now let's enter into a little bit into the Megillah itself. There's a lot to say. I'd just like to highlight a few ideas. Let's begin with the personality of Mordechai. So we know the Gemara tells us, source 14, the very famous pasuk that we say out loud, Ishu di ayah b'shushan habirah, Ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. There was a man in Shushan habirah whose name was Mordechai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish. And the Gemara asked, Ben Yair, Why do we need to know the names of his fathers? So the Maharadarshans have all the names. The son of the one who enlightened, Sheiri name Sheisel Tfiloso, that Hashem enlightened Klal Yisrael, that he enlightened Klal Yisrael with his tefillah. Ben Shimi, Ben Sheshamal Tfiloto, a son whose father, Kadosh Baruch Hu, listened to his tefillahs. Ben Kish, Kish to Shehe Kish Dachin, Tei Rachamin, that he knocked on the doors of mercy. So we see that all of Mordechai's ancestors are darshened out, are explicated, all connected to the idea of tefillah. Ask the Gra, why is that? So the Gra says that we know that Mordechai is known, right? Mordechai, I mean, a Torah, I mean, I, where is he found? The Torah is found by Mar Dror, by the one of the spices in the Keturah. And notes the Gra that if you take a look at the senses found in the head, all the senses are connected to Torah except one. The eyes you read, the mouth you speak Torah, the ears you hear Torah. The sense of smell is not connected to Lima Torah. What is the sense of smell connected to? It's connected to tefillah. How so? Because we know that the sense of smell was very prominent in the Keturah, in the incense offering. And the incense offering is tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It is known as one of the major aspects of tefillah to Hashem. So Mordechai is connected to the sense of smell, which is connected to the Keturah, which is connected to our tefillah. The entirety of Mordechai, the Imahus, his name, his essence, is about tefillah. Therefore, the Gemara Darshan's everything having to do with Mordechai is focused on tefillah. Albeit Mordechai, we know, is part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. He was a great Talmud scholar. He was, you know, on that level. Nevertheless, how does the Gemara darshan him out? Not in terms of his Torah learning and his brilliance, but rather in terms of his tefillah. Why? Because once again, we're focusing in on what is the major lesson that we have to learn from the story. That when we're able to knock on those doors of rachamim, that we can have our eyes enlightened in tefillah, Hashem will listen to our tefillahs, because that is one of the major things we see. And this brings us to Source 16, of that was the major tshuva movement that Mordechai did in the Megillah. Yes, we have Midrashim at Mordechai, was teaching about the Korban HaOmer, we have that. However, the focus is, in the Megillah particularly, that Mordechai was wearing sack va'efer, he was wearing sackcloth, va'yizak zaka gdolo mara, he has a great cry, and really what it's about is that Mordechai never left the sackcloth of crying out to Hashem in his tefillah. And he gathers, we know, the tinokos shel beis rabbanan, and he gathers the little children and have them fast, and have them daven to Hashem. The whole focus of Mordechai is getting the people to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to do tshuva, and to be able to call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Likewise, we know that Esther, the famous Kapitel Tehillim, we just mentioned, Kaf Beis, where Esther Amalka, when she enters into Ahasuerus' palace, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Zavtani, Hashem, how could you leave me at this time? Again, the focus is on her aspect of tefillah. That's classic. Let's try to understand a little bit deeper certain nuances of tefillah that we can learn from the Megillah. And we'll look at three of them from Rabbi Biderman Sefer Berachayim. The first, he says, is when Mordechai is led on the horse, and Haman, right, leads him on the horse, Kachi Yasel Ish, this is what you've done to a person, Asher Melech HaFetz, that the king wants to reward. So he asks the question, well, don't you think that the Satan is going to try to mess this up? Like, why would the Satan want Mordechai riding on a horse? That's you know, Satan doesn't like these type of things. So he brings down a very interesting idea where he says that the Satan was trying something, a ploy, which is very Satan-y, and that is if Mordechai thinks that suddenly the tables are turning, wow, Haman, his arch enemy, is now leading him on the horse, things are going to shift. And if things are going to shift, one may think, okay, I can stop davening now. You know, I can take off my sackcloth. You know, I see that Hashem has heard my tefillah, and I can, you know, let down my guard a little bit and move on with life. Mordechai doesn't fall for this. the Megillah tells us that after Mordechai is led through the horse, where does he go? He returns to Shar HaMelech, and Chazal tell us he returns with Saka Ulataniso. He returns back to his sackcloth and his fasting. Mordechai does not wait for one moment. He doesn't say, oh, you know, we could take a little bit of a break. He understands that tefillah is something that has to be consistent and constant. And that's why he notes in 19 in the asterisk. The Chasam Sofer writes, Vayasha Mordechai Ashar HaMelech, and Mordechai went back to the king's palace. Vamar Rav Sheshet Sheshav L'Sakal L'Taniso, as he mentioned. Rav Sheshet said he returned back to his sackcloth and to his fasting. Umikan Nimitzenu L'Meitim, we learn from here, says the Chasam Sofer, Sheyeh Im Yeyeh Chas Hashem B'Tzara, V'Achar Kach Nitzal K'sat Mimenu. The person's in dire straits, and you begin to see somewhat of a salvation. Af al pi kein lo yaniach milispalo. Don't stop from davening. A person has to realize that davening is constant, even if you begin to see things shifting, until you see a total turnaround, davening, and even afterwards, thank Hashem, continue to bless. Davening is at all times. It's not just when things are really bad you have to daven. Davening is constant. Idea number two. When Zeresh says to Haman, you know, this is source 20, if Mordechai is from the Jews, if you've begun to fall in front of him, asher chilota limpolu fanav lo tuchalo, you're not going to be able to overcome kinafolti polu fanav, you're definitely going to fall in front of him. So ask the Malbim, whoa, I thought Zeresh was his wife, I thought she was on his side. What is she saying to him? You know what, Haman, sorry. Goodbye, good luck, have a nice life, you know? Basically, you know, try to hang in there because you're going to be hung. No, what's going on here? Says the Malbim, she's telling him piece of advice. She says, if you want to know how to get Mordechai, Esther, Klal Yisrael to be defeated by you, I'll tell you what you have to do. Get them to stop davening. And that's why, if nafolti polufana perush in the dot she polufnai raglav chaseronim kadeshi nebe ne Mordechai shu nichnaila umeli asik mili pala, what you should do is fall in front of Mordechai and say, you know what, I'm so sorry I did this, please forgive me. Then Mordechai will stop davening. And once he stops davening, you have the upper hand. And that's how he explains that Haman, realizing that Esther is Jewish, he falls. Well, Haman, though, fell on Lamitai. He's falling in front of her to do Zeresh's plan. Otherwise, how do you understand why would Haman be falling by Esther? And this is like the wrong time to make the king angry. So he was falling in order to do this plan of please, you know, I'm so sorry, I'll stop, and then they stop davening, and then he could do whatever he wants. And the malach comes and pushes him a little bit too far, and he basically falls for it, and the rest is history. So again, Zeresh understands this idea the Chasam Sofer was teaching us. You get a Jew to stop davening, then you're in good hands. If they keep on davening, you're finished. And you see this same idea in a third place as well in 21. Megillah tells us that Mordechai wanted to, Chashav al-Yudim, Lehumam u'le'abdam. Lehumam literally means to confuse them, and le'abdam is to get rid of them, to demolish them. So why Lehumam? What's the confusion here? So again, if you're able to get them to a state of such total confusion that they don't know what's going on, they'll stop from davening. And if they stop from davening, then they'll all down. So what we see here, my friends, is something very fundamental. What the Megillah is telling us is not only that Hashem is close to us when we call out to Him, but we have to understand that our calling out to Him has to be a constant, consistent calling out to Him. And that's a very, very important message of the Megillah. That can't just be when I'm in trouble, then I start calling out to Hashem. I have to realize that tefillah is a constant conversation that you need to have with Hashem. Vayi tefillah, as David HaMelech says, you're in a constant relationship and a constant understanding that we're completely dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam. We've seen the Rambam. This is a major theme. Tanis Esther enters into the Megillah. Mordechai is referred to completely about tefillah. We see three examples where you see that tefillah has to be continuous, and that's the message of the Megillah. I'd like to share from a new sefer, Purim Eternal, by Avi Feiner, another understanding of where that blue thread is mamish in the middle of that tapestry, as we'll see, where you see tefillah is a major component of the Megillah. So he says in Source 23, the Gemara in Kedushin explains that the early scholars referred to as sofrim, meaning ones who count, because they would count the verses, words, and letters of the Torah, and would thereby be able to calculate where the middle verse, word, and letter of the Torah was. What is the meaning of this Gemara? Why is it so significant to figure out the center verse or center word? The Maharal writes that the center point of any objects represents the purpose and completion of that particular object. In other words, it is a center point that encompasses the essence of the object. Therefore, it is crucial to find and discover the center point because it will provide us with a tremendous insight into the core essence around with which the object revolves. When counting the 167 verses of Megillat Esther, we can discover that the middle verse is chapter 5, verse 7, which is discussing the dialogue between Ahasuerus and Esther that took place at Esther's first feast. Let's take a look at the three psukim that surround us. In Pasuk Vav, it says the following. Vayomer melech Esther b'mishteh ayayin, and the king says to Esther at the feast, Ma she'elotech v'inatayim lach, what is your request? I'll give it to you. U'ma bakashatech, what would you like? Ad chatzi ha'malchus v'teyos, I'll give you half the kingdom. Verse 7, which is our middle verse, our key verse. Vatan Esther v'tomer she'elotei v'kashatei. Esther then responds, my request and my petition. End of the verse. Verse 8. Imatzati chen b'nei ha'melech, if I find favor in the king's eyes, v'im ha'melech tov, and if I should be good for the king, latena chelati v'osota bakashati, to do my favor and request, yavo ha'melech v'amano mishteh sher sen lahem, u'machar ha'sek hedvar ha'melech, let the king and Haman come to the feast I'm making tomorrow, and tomorrow I'll tell the king what my request is. Now, what's so fascinating is that verse 6 and verse 8 have content to it, right? The king asks, what do you want? And she says, come to my party tomorrow and I'll tell you what I want. What does verse 7 say? The answer is absolutely nothing. Vatan Esther Vatomer Shelati Ubakashati. My request is, and my asking is, that's the whole pasuk. You see from here, there must be something very noteworthy about the mere fact that Esther's making a request that would cause our central focus to be turned to it, rather than to the content of the request itself? And the answer is obviously, because that is the center and the focus. It's not about a specific request. It's about the fact that she requested. It's about the fact that the center of the Megillah is about Shiloh, about Kasha, to ask and to desire. And it's not just to the king down here. HaMelech refers to the Malkul Shel Olam. Sheilati u'bakashati. That is what the Megillah is about. To ask. To request. If you, my friends, if you take a look at the center word in the Megillah, the center word is Sheilati, meaning my request, which appears in the content of Esther's response in chapter 5, verse 8. Thus we see that both the middle verse and the middle word of the Megillah share the exact same idea of Esther making a request from the king. What about the term Shelati is so central to the theme of the Megillah? What is the correlation between the word Shelah to the holiday of Purim? So he says, this is exactly what the Rambam says, that this is the key of what Purim is about. Purim is this idea of She'elo Bakasha, of asking, beseeching Hashem with all our requests and praying to Him to save us just as He did at the time of Purim. It is therefore not a coincidence that the central verse and the central word of the Megillah focus on Esther making a request from the king, which can also be construed as Esther simultaneously making a request of and davening to Hashem, the King of Kings. It is not by accident, my friends, that the gematria, the numerical value of the word she'elah, request, is 336, which is precisely the same gematria as Purim. That, my friends, is the essence of Purim. Sheila, to ask. It follows, therefore, that our celebration on Purim should also incorporate the central theme of prayer. In fact, the Chidushei Arim explains that when the Talmud Yerushalmi states that on Purim we must give tzedakah to any poor person who extends his hand, it also refers to the fact that on Purim Hashem responds to anyone who extends his hand in prayer, as just respond to Mordechai and Esther. Therefore, when reading the Megillah, our focus is directed toward the central verse and central word, which both highlight the centrality of tefillah. On Purim, Hashem desires and awaits to answer our tefillos and those of the entire Jewish nation, in the same manner as He awaited the prayers of the Jews at the time of Mordechai and Esther. Hashem wants to help us. He's just waiting for us to open our mouths to ask for help. Purim illustrates to us how fortunate the Jewish nation is, that Hashem loves us so dearly and is always interested in hearing from us. We just need to take advantage of that closeness by constantly knocking on His gates of mercy and calling out to Him with sincere and heartfelt prayer. So, my friends, that was a very brief overview. Let's now bring it down as we've begun to do into our lives. A major theme, as we've seen, of Purim is Klal Yisrael davening day and night, gathering the children together, the tzom u'mitzvah u'bechi, the fasting, the mourning, the tefillah that Klal Yisrael had, the tefillah that we need to have. The focus of Purim is She'elah, is being able to ask Hashem. The message of Purim is that Hashem is so close to those who call out. Just like Hashem saved them then, Hashem is waiting to save us as well. He's just waiting for us to ask. Practically speaking, what does this mean? So obviously, one idea is on Tanis Esther to say Kapitel Kuf Beis, chapter 22, and just daven to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It also is about the Megillah itself. It's really about the day of Purim itself. We know that Lamidas Rachim Kazo Meolam Rav Pinkas Atzel 26 Lo Zacham Yisrael Lifnechem. There was an immense amount of Rachamim that wasn't even found beforehand. Kineik B'Sha'asha Ben Gosef V'Omed Lamud. Here we were about to die, 127 provinces. We were really in a very bad situation. And Vamish Tchir Sameti Mabarim. In order to have this Tchir Sameti, this resurrection, you need a lot of Rachamim. And that same amount of Rachamim that was found then is found in our times as well. And that's why he says we should be able to, all of our tefillah, to daven with tremendous kavanah. When we say Rafa'enu, to ask everyone who needs to be healed. When we say Baruch Aleinu, all the people who need parnasa. And that's why Purim is, as we began with the Radbaz, is a gevaldic time of tefillah, just like on Yom Kippur. And it would seem that, you know, women should make a big deal, just like they try to go to shul on Yom Kippur. It would seem that they should make a big deal about going to shul, or at least really taking time to daven. And obviously, a tefillah b'tzibur is great. If a woman can't do that, so then, to make sure that she has time to really daven on Purim. That's why there are a lot of shuls with vasikin minyans where a husband and wife can switch off. You know, it's what the theme of the day is about. It's about davening. It's about pouring out your heart out to Hashem. So really, the entire day. Birkas HaMazon, Gevaldik, you have a Suda at night, a Suda during the day. Ask Hashem, Hazanat Olam Kulo should give us Bechein, Bechesav Rachim. He should bench us. We know that Birkas HaMazon is a skula for Parnasa. It helps a person with their livelihood to really bench with Kavana. Having said all that, we get to this piece. We've done this many, many times, and, you know, it's never enough. And that's the asterisk in 27 where he says, the second one, Inyan Zeh Mor B'Yom HaPurim, Kulo, the entire Purim is the day of davening. Ach She'asa Resicha, the boiling point, Kivyachol Shel Midas HaRachamim, where you really have this Midas HaRachamim, is the time of Kriyas Megillah. Az Niftachim B'Yeter Oz Mayinor Nachesa Yonim Ashrim Ach V'Rak L'Shasa Tzakana. You should almost feel, we've used this imagery before, that these thousands of Hershey kisses are coming down from Shemayim. And just grab them. This is the time to daven. Aleinu eifol lafsik ma'abli sakeh beit kakriyas megillah b'chol anasat sviveinu v'lamon v'lipameim v'mitzios hameti banu chayim b'el sa'id harakeim u'shpalen v'shefa shol Torah v'zeh uzvan shol gilu emidah sarachim v'lo otzmotam Hadaini Satala Boris Parpatvila Prapa La Clau Huyana. So this is a time, whether it's during the Kriyas Megillah in our thoughts, during the time they're banging Haman, it's time to daven in your thoughts. You don't have to watch everybody, you know, making all that noise, you know. We have a lot of Hamans. And after Kriyas Megillah, we've spoken about, my friends, after Kriyas Megillah, the gates are open, the gates are open. Let's tap into those gates that are open. So instead of when the Megillah is finished to just run out of shul or start talking and looking at everyone's costume, take those few minutes, those precious moments. And the Satan is going to be at his best. He knows that this is a gevaldig time to daven. And therefore, the distractions on Purim are at their highest. Right? This one is that, and this one's both crying over this, and that one's too upset about that. Whoa! We're torn from all sides. Because the Satan knows, you're going to start to daven, whoa, don't want that to happen. And we have to pre-plant, it's the best. We know that I'm going to take this time in the morning, someone else will take care of the kids, my husband will come home, whatever it is, I'm going to make sure to have this time uninterrupted to daven. The second time that is auspicious for tefillah, albeit we'll see it's all day, is as we've spoken before, we've done it from the Siva Shalom, here's from Orchus Aaron, source 28, based on the Kutzker Rebbe, Vayomer HaMelech Esther Mishteyayin Mashel Tech V'yinatein Lach, where the king says to Esther in the Feast of the Wine, what is your request? And I'll give you, says the Kutzker Rebbe, that the Melech is Malkos Shalolo, is the king, and Esther is Knesset Yisrael. It's us, the hidden part of us, the king says to us, at our Suda, what is it that your request is? I will tell you personally, my friends, I know three people. This isn't like somebody told me about somebody. Some of the people I know who davened on Purim, who were having trouble, had children, having trouble having children, and all of them, all three of these three people, Mamish said, they poured out their heart on Purim, and they had, each one of them, had a multiple birth 9 months later. Two of them had twins, one of them had triplets. I guess on Purim, you start seeing double, you start davening double, and you get double for you know, the same price. There's a kalach of Purim. There's mamish a kalach of Purim. And says the Be'er HaChaim the following, he says in Source 30, it's brought down in the Sifrei Kodesh, that the energy on Yom Kippur, that at the time of Keter, which is Kedusha, which is the height of Yom Kippur, right, that Kedusha, that's found at that time, is found all the day of Purim. B'chol shows hayimamad yom at Purim, but if sasha b'yom gadol v'kadoshah, all of us can ask for the king what we want, and there's going to be a tremendous hashpa. Recognize, as is brought down in source number 31, it's important to note that while it is guaranteed that Hashem will answer our tefillos out of his love for us, he answers all tefillos for Torah, for good, this means that person davens for something and Hashem knows that such a request will actually be detrimental to him, although the supplicant does not realize it. Hashem will not answer that specific request, but apply the tefillos from that request to something he knows the person really needs. And therefore, my friends, to end this first level, we can now appreciate when we sing Shoshanis Yaakov, at the end of Shoshanis Yaakov, which we say both in the night and the day, we end with, Lehodia Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu, why do we have the Purim story? Lahodia, to tell us that all those who are Kovei Hashem, those who yearn for Hashem and beseech Hashem and daven for Him, Kovei Hashem, Chazak v'matzimecha v'kalavol Hashem, those who daven to Hashem, Lo Yevoshu, they're not going to be turned down empty-handed. Lahodia, this is the reason, this is the purpose of the Megillah. So once the Megillah is over and I start singing Shoshanis Yaakov, don't get lost! The purpose is in order to daven. So what should we do then? Daven! That, my friends, is one understanding of B'Masiyot Pasuk. Ki mi goy gadol shelo elokim kovim elav kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav, focusing in on the end, that Hashem listens to us when we call out to Him, one major theme of the Megillah. Let's take a look at a second idea, which is less well known and equally as powerful, which is another theme of, for many themes, another theme I'd like to focus in on, Rav Hashem, today in the Megillah. And again, this is less well known. Amunani Techa Rav Wilson, he says, Kol Inyan, source 34, Neish Shal Purim, Hu Sharita Karsh Baruch Hu Lamata Bechina Zu Shel Igulim. if you had it distilled down, what the Megillah is about, the whole Purim story is about, is Hashem brought down to the world circles. Now, that sounds like you're going in circles if you're trying to figure that one out. Shubichinas ha'atid. Circles is about the future. V'nisgala nekuda musteret shebalev asher mitzad zeh kol Yisrael shavim. And this is what it means, that all of Klal Yisrael are equal, like a circle, all parts are equidistant. And this is why by Matanos Lev Yonim, we don't make any distinctions. Kol apos sheit yad, whoever extends a hand, we give them. Because the whole point of Purim is whether, and that's the Machzid HaShekel, which plays into this so well, the poor or the rich, you give the exact same amount. Whoever extends a hand, you give them. And that's the idea of costumes as well, where we make no distinction. I don't care who you are. I don't care what's behind the mask or over the mask. Every Jew is equidistant to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We all have the Tzelno Lokim. That is the idea of Achashverosh, which the Gemara darshins out in the squiggly in 34, the king, Misha Achris Vareshit Shilo, playing on the word Achashverosh, the Achris and the Reshit, the one who has the end and the beginning, which is also obviously a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol, which is the idea of a circle where there is no end and no beginning. It all is encompassed in one. Let's try to understand this. Where do you see circles? What is circles? What is lines? So he explains the following. He says, you know, when Source 35, 36, when Haman drew the lots and Adar came out, he was really excited. Why? Adar is the last month. So if Adar is the last month, it's really like down there and it has really very little Kedusha. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu died in this month. This is a great month. Wow, I'm so excited. That's if you use a line. A line, right? If Nisan's on top, Adar's on the bottom. Moshe Rabbeinu died, that's it. But if you use a circle, then it's totally different. Yes, that Nisan's on the top, but I have a little secret to tell you. In a circle, Adar is at the end, which is really toward the beginning. That Adar isn't the lowest of the months, it's coming toward the highest of the months. And therefore, Adar has within it, if you look at it from the circle perspective, tremendous amount of Kedusha. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu died. I understand that. But every generation that has a tzaddik in that generation, it's as if they have that component of Moshe Rabbeinu within them. That Moshe Rabbeinu is really always alive. He is midlabesh. He clothes himself, kivyachol, that persona in the tzaddikei ador. And Mordechai is an example of that, Chazal say. So you think that Moshe Rabbeinu died? That's lines. In circles, Moshe Rabbeinu is continually coming back from generation to generation. This explains, he says in 38, there's a machlok in the Gemara, was Achashverosh a stupid king or a wise king? And one of the places where they argue this is that first Achashverosh makes a party for those in the distant lands, and then makes a party for those who are closer. It makes more logical sense that you start with those who are close to you to make a party for them, and then you move outward to those who are distant. So if you say it's about Achashverosh, you say he's a Melech Tipesh, he's a foolish king. But if you're saying this about Kadosh Baruch Hu, then that's very wise. And that's the pasuk of Shalom, Shalom, Merachok u'Lekarov, that Hashem first brings in those who are far, and then those who are close. And that is because everybody is equal. That Hashem is teaching us that it's not just those who are close to Him that are near the, you know, the top of the circle, that are close to Hashem. Hashem says even those who are far from Me are really very close to Me. Hashem was teaching us that there is no such thing as a distant Jew. And that explains this pasuk in the bracket of 39. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo Elokim Krovim Elav. This is Rav Masna. This is the Matana, the gift of Purim. It's a gift of closeness. It's a gift of circles. It's a gift that we're always, every one of us, accessible to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves all of His children like everyone is equidistant on a circle. Rabosai, I think there's a much deeper, there's another deeper lesson that we can learn here. The Megillah isn't just teaching us about circles, it's about equality, about closeness to Hashem. That's true. There's another lesson we can learn about circles that I think is very fundamental. And that's in a piece of Srila Pinchas, happens to be the last maimer in a sefer on Megillah Sester, where he speaks about at the end of the Megillah, it's the pasuk says Vatichtov Esther, Hamalka bar Avichai Mordechai Yehudi Yekol Tokef Lakayim Et Gerei Purima Zot Hashenis. That Esther, Hamalka, and Mordechai wrote this letter Vatichtov, and she wrote the Tuf is written big. And the question is, what was the significance of the letter written big? Because obviously, it's here to teach us a lesson. So he says, the whole idea we know of Megillat Esther is Ligalot, is to reveal the Esther, the hiddenness. What are we trying to reveal? We're trying to reveal what's really the month of Purim, which is Adar. Adar is about Aleph Dar, the Alufel Shel Olam, Kosh Baruch Hu, the chief of the world, resides among us in Adar. And he quotes Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, who said, Shimida Adam Yidiya V'Emunah, the end of 41, Shlema, if a person knows with clarity, Shimachol Astarot HaMachshav HaZorot HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mistat Yersham, in all the concealment, in all the darkness, V'afilu Ba'astarot Shimitoch HaAstarot, Eiz HaAstarot Klal, it's not concealment at all. Because Ki B'Yidiya Shadam Yodea Ma'amim Shimachol Tenua V'Yuyur Devar Katan, Sham Olufo Shalolam. Chayut Elokot, if you really believe in every single thing that happens, and everything, that there's nothing random, is godliness, so then you're going to be able to access the godly light, because indeed, Hashem is everywhere. Aleph Dar, Hashem comes down to this world. And that's why, V'Anochi Hastir Hastir, the Anochi is hidden in the Hester, in the concealment, and we have to be able to find it. This is hinted at, my friends, in a beautiful pasuk, the Imri Noam, points out, and Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva Vayelech Haran. Yaakov Inu 43 went out of Be'er Sheva, went to Haran. Vayetze stands for Vayar Yaakov, and Yaakov saw Vav Yud Vayar Yaakov Suras Aleph, Tzadik Aleph, Suras Aleph. But Yaakov Inu left and is entering into Haran, the darkness, the anger of the world. What did he take with him? Vayetze, he took with him the letter Aleph, which means that he was like a visualization of the letter Aleph, which is about that Hashem is with us. And we know the letter Aleph, the way it's written, is a line on the diagonal with a little yud on top and a little yud on the bottom. Yud and yud in Gematria 10 and 10 is 20. The Vav, the line, is like the letter Vav, which is 6. 20 plus 6 is 26. The Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Yud Hei Vav Hei, equals up to 26. It's the letter of a numerical value of Hashem. He felt Hashem's presence, the Aleph, the Alufel Shalom, wherever he went. That was the quality of Yaakovino. And that's why in Source 44, when Yaakovino returns back from Galus, and he's met with Esav, and Esav is coming with him. Banu alachichal Esav, v'gam holech likratcha, v'arba mot ishimo. And 400 men are with him. And these 400 men are very fascinating, because after they make up, we never really hear about these 400 men again. They really like disappear. Well, what happened to these 400 men? So he says the 400 men represent the gematria 400, which is tough. Tuf is the last letter in the alphabet. Tuf is a letter of Yeyush, of total despair, if you look at it from a line perspective. Aleph is the top, Tuf is the bottom. However, my friends, if you look at it as a circle, then although Aleph is the top, and I go down in a circle, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tov, right, all the way around, Tuf is toward the top. So if when Yaakov Avinu saw the 400 people, Esav wanted him to get to a level of tough, where it's going to be really tough for him, yeah? And that is despair. But Yaakov Avinu understood the idea of the circle and understood that as we move down, we get closer back to the top, and Vayetze, he saw the Surah of Aleph, he didn't despair. So when he was able to hold on to that, I'm not afraid, the 400 men vanquished automatically, because they were just there to make him afraid. But he was able to hold on to Hashem, no matter what. This explains, by the way, the Gemara, which talks about that the word et, Aleph Tuf, is Baal Rabot, is coming to add something. That we should never see that there is an Aleph and a Tuf, the A to Z, so to speak, and that's where it ends. No, Aleph Tetav Bala Rabot. It's coming to add something. There's more to it. It's like a spiral. The dimension goes higher and higher. What's fascinating is who was the person who was darshaning out every et in the Chumash is Rabbi Akiva. And what do we know about Rabbi Akiva? What was his shita? He always saw the good in everything. He was the one who's laughing when the foxes came out of the Kodesh Kedoshim. How do we understand this? Because he understands that you can never see the Aleph Tetav in a linear way. You have to see it in a circle. You have to see that everything that happens to us, even in the darkness, as I'm moving further and further away from the Aleph, I'm getting closer and closer to the Aleph, that the Tav doesn't represent the end. It represents a new beginning. Now I can appreciate Vatichtov Esther the Tav is written big to show us that really Klal Yisrael reached a point of Tav. They reached a point of the 400. They reached the point where they thought this was it. This was going to be the end. And the point of Megillat Esther in 46, Elu Shebenes Purim Zachu Yisrael Legilu Egadol Shalot Aleph. But really the point of Purim is about is that from that place of Tav, we reach the letter of Aleph. That Hashem, the Alufo Shalolam, who's not mentioned anywhere in the Megillah, is found on every single word of the Megillah. That we're never at a level of Tav. Recognize that Hashem is Karov. Is close to us. When we feel so distant, don't look at it from a line perspective. Look at it from a circle perspective. The farther away you feel from Hashem, the closer you're getting to Hashem. With this we can appreciate, my friends, the word Esther in the bracket of 46. Esther is no trikon, is a Rosh Teva for Aleph, which is the Alufel Shel Olam, the Aleph, Aleph Samech Tav Resh is Esther. The Alufel Shel Olam is found where? Samech stands for Sof, the end. Tav stands for Toch, the middle, and the Rosh, and the beginning. That the Alufel Shel Olam Nimsa B'chol HaMatzavim Machrito Avreshito, from the end to the beginning. And my friends, in a real extent, that is the message for us. That oftentimes when we're going through something, we need to have the belief that as I'm moving farther away and I feel so distant from the Aleph, filu b'hester, I'm in the astara v'anochi astir astir, I have to believe in the circle. I have to believe that really the krovim elav, I'm coming closer to Hashem. And then, when I see that full circle, then I have the ability to stop for a few moments on top. And look backwards, and I see the Aleph. I see how Hashem's hand was at the Toch, at the Sof, at the end, at the Toch, the middle, and the Rosh. I'm able to look at the circle backwards and see that Hashem has been with me throughout the entire process. And I see, really, it's one circle. And that, my friends, is what Rabbi Berkowitz speaks about. And it's safer the sixth kata mitzvos. We've seen this piece before, source 47. The Megillah is not about history, but about destiny. It's part of Tanakh because it teaches us to examine our lives and try to see how each event fits into Hashem's plan for our personal advancement. Think about the grand events in your own life, the person you married, the person you didn't marry, the job you accepted, and the one you really wanted but did not get, the teachers who influence you. You might start to notice a pattern. Sometimes the grand events are not enough. You will have to focus on the minute details of life. People you met seemingly by chance who affected you in some way. A train you missed that caused you to see an advertisement on the next train that helped you grow. A ride you took with a friend during which you overheard a conversation that contained an important message in your life. Such introspection can boost your emunah as you begin to make sense of your life and the path that has been paved for you. It might be painful sometimes. There might be questions. There might be events that you simply cannot understand. Don't forget, you're in the middle of the story. If we were to stop reading Megillah somewhere in the middle, we wouldn't be able to make sense of it. We would internalize the message of the Megillah and use it as a guide for our own lives and have faith that once we move on to the next world, all our questions will be answered. Life, the Megillah, is teaching us about circles. It's teaching us about perspective. It's teaching us not to get caught in the here and now, that this is where it begins and ends, but realize that everything is a circle, that everything is seeing the whole picture. And with this, my friends, we can perhaps understand as our final idea The idea of that greater, the final source 48, greater was the taking off of the tabat, of the ring of Achashverosh to Haman, than all the prophets in terms of getting us to do tshuva. Again, my friends, as we know, a ring is something that's circular. When the ring is taken off, when the ring is in Haman's hands, when we have lost that idea of perspective, that everything is a circle, that everything has a pattern to it, when that ring is no longer in our hands, then we're in a trouble. But when we understand that that ring is trying to wake us up and to say that whatever is happening, it's Hashem who's close to us, that Hashem is calling out to us, I want you to come close to me. I want you to understand that history is not linear. Everything is circular. It's Krovi Melav. It's all about closeness to me. And that even when you feel so distant, you're really coming closer to me. When you understand the message of the Tabat, when you understand the message of the ring, then you'll be able to hear that ring and be able to do the tshuva, to do the repentance that we need. Rabosai, the lessons that we've seen is that one pasuk encapsulates two central ideas. Davin, Purim is a day when the Shari Shamayim are open. It's a day akin to Yom Kippur that we would think that would be the day that a prisoner would daven. Be able to tap into that every moment of the day. You're taking your kids on errands to give mishloach manot, stay in the car and have a tehillim open. You're opening and closing the door for mishloach manot, have a list on the fridge, have a list on the door of people to daven for. Use every moment you can to be able to grab tefillah as much as possible. It's a day that we should feel Hashem is so close to us. And second of all, it's a day where we can't enter into yeyush, into despair. We can't be able to ever say that whatever we are going through in our lives, that's it. No. Look at that ring and be able to learn the lesson that everything is about circles. It's not about linear. And that the farther we are and the more despair we feel, we're at the level of tough. Tough is very close to the aleph. It's et. It's coming to add. It's coming to teach us something. Sometimes it means that we're standing at the top and we have to see the aleph in the rosh, in the sof, the toch, and the rosh. We have to look backwards and see it. And sometimes we have that vision to be able to see it wherever we're standing, the anochi, that Hashem is with us at all times. Perspective and prayer are two central themes of the Megillah. And Kodesh Baruch Hu answer our tefillos l'tova. And may we always feel the Alufa Shalolam is with us at all times, bringing us closer and closer to Him.